Steward, 1862. Brother T.M. Steward. You asked me some questions at Lodi, Wisconsin, which I have been thinking much of since. And from my conversation with you, I know that you have no true sense of the part you have acted and the injury you have done to the cause of God. That which had been shown me in regard to you came vividly before me, and I have compared that which I have recently seen with the testimony published in regard to you, and I cannot see the least apology for your course. Before running into the fanaticism you did, you were wrong. Your heart was not right in the sight of God. I told you I believe that you had been honest. I went too far. I had no right to say that you had been honest after having the testimony for you I did in number 6. No, Brother Steward, if you had honestly followed the light, you would never have pursued the course you have. You have willfully, stubbornly followed your own way, relied on your own judgment. God sent you help, but you would not be helped. What more could heaven have done for you than was done? If you thought others were esteemed higher than you, you were dissatisfied and acted pettish, sideways, like a spoiled child. You have wished to be highly esteemed, but have taken a course to greatly lower yourself in the esteem of those whom you would wish should esteem you, even before your wild, fanatical course. You were jealous of those at Battle Creek, jealous of my husband and myself. You were constantly ready to surmise evil. Envy and suspicion were mixed together, and under a supposed pretense of being very conscientious, you have suggested doubts in regard to matters at Battle Creek, throwing out sideways hints in regard to matters concerning which you were wholly ignorant of and utterly incapable of judging rightly, because the burdens of such matters there were not laid at all upon you. I was shown that God would never select an individual with a mind constituted as yours and lay heavy burdens upon that individual and call him to fill responsible positions. For self-esteem would be so prominent in all that it would be ruinous to God's people. Had you esteemed yourself less, you would have had less jealousy and suspicion. Had you been led by the Spirit of God, you would have united wholly, fully, with the body, and been in union with those whom God has seen fit to place at the head of the work. You would have committed yourself fully upon the gifts of the church, and in every particular, in regard to points of faith, you would have been established and drawn in even cords with those of experience. But you took an uncertain position, fearing you would gratify those whose whole soul was in the work if you stood firmly, decidedly, with them, and planted yourself on the platform with your brethren. God was displeased with you. He would bear with your folly no longer, but left you to follow your own judgment, which you had so highly esteemed until you should wish to be led, wish to be taught, and without any pettish, stubborn feelings, without any complaining or fault-finding, learn of those who have felt the burden and weight of the cause. You have despised instruction and been left to take a glaring, inconsistent course. You have ever been reaching out to lead out independent of the body, to get an original position of your own where steward would figure a little larger and be approbated and exalted, until I saw that God gave you up to manage and manifest that wisdom you have thought you had superior to others, and he let you figure in the most foolish, senseless, wild fanaticism which ever cursed Wisconsin. And yet I saw you were not reformed. Yet you came up out of all this, excusing yourself, and ready again to dictate, and even suggest, a plan whereby the Lord might have arrested you through a course his servants could have pursued. God gave you your choice, to be taught, to be instructed by his servants in his own way, or to go on, maintain your willful, unyielding disposition, and take a course to ruin your own influence. You chose to have your own way, and you should now blame yourself. You professed to be a watchman on the walls of Zion, a shepherd to the flock, yet witnessed them torn and scattered, confused and destroyed, and gave no warning. Read Ezekiel 3, verse 17 to 19, 21.
Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. The sin of those who ran into fanaticism rests heavier upon you, Brother Steward, than any other, and you are accountable for the injury done to the cause of God. You were an unfaithful watchman. You discerned not the evil because you were unfaithful. Then, when God sent his faithful watchman who stood in the light and could discern the evil to arrest or warn the erring flock and the stupid shepherd, they would not hear the voice of the true shepherd through his chosen servants, but made their spirit strong against the warning and strengthened themselves in their vain and foolish course. And the shepherd would not hear. He was affronted. He saw no haste in the matter. He thought this fanaticism would develop itself, and so it has, with terrible results. There were not reasonable, sensible manifestations to characterize it as being of God. The servants of God freed their souls and their garments from the blood of souls and from the cursed influence which followed, while Steward bears the fearful weight of the sin of this woeful fanaticism. And yet he is so childish as to blame the weak, erring sheep who strayed as leading him out of the true pasture. What is a watchman for unless it be to watch for evil and give the warning? What is a shepherd for unless to watch lest the sheep shall stray from the fold or true pasture and be torn by wolves? What excuse could a shepherd plead for suffering the flock to be torn? How would an excuse stand made by the shepherd that the sheep led him astray, the sheep ran out of the true and right path, and led him out of the path? How would such a plea be received? Why, no more confidence could be placed in his ability to care for the sheep and protect them from evil. He would be counted as unfit to guide and shield the flock, and they would be taken out of his hands. The reproach resting upon the cause in regard to Brother Billing's wife rests heavily upon Brother and Sister Steward. It was through their influence that she left her family. They made much of her exercises and experience. She was weak, and after she had been from her home a short time, she was no longer a sane woman. I was shown that if Brother Steward had been standing in the council of God, acknowledging the gifts as of God, and occupying their place in the church, had he been heart and mind wholly with the review, being led by the strong truths of God's word, his influence in Mauston would have been far different than it was. The church would have been in an entirely different position, and would, had his labors been right among them, been walking right up to all God required of them, as churches in other states. But the gifts have not been believed and considered of any weight, and Brother Steward has not impressed upon them the necessity of sacrificing, the necessity of systematic benevolence. Brother Steward's sideways position in regard to the review and in regard to important truths being practically carried out led the people in and about Mauston to not think as highly of the review as they should, and they held very lightly the truths taught in it. Therefore, the review failed to have that influence upon them God designed it should have, and they were on the background in and about Mauston.
The state of things in Mauston led Stuart and his wife to influence Brother Billing's wife to leave her family to secure her influence in Mauston, and he can bear the responsibility for her mind being overtaxed and diseased and the awful strain brought upon God's cause. Brother Stuart, I was shown that you try to throw these things off upon others, but as a watchman, God holds you responsible. You have most humble confessions to make in Marquette and Portage and Lodi and other places. Brother and Sister Kelly have been greatly injured and embarrassed by the fanaticism, and almost ruined by this satanic spirit manifested through your wife in the form of visions. The same spirit, I have seen, has affected your body, and you have run a great length in this fanaticism, and now seek to shoulder it on others. You have not begun to see yet. You are free to confess that which you did not do, but do not confess that which you did do.
Your influence in Marquette has been wretched. You were opposed to organization. You preached against it in an uncertain manner in Marquette. Not in so blunt a manner as some might have done, but you went just as far as you dared to, and in a sort of underhanded, covering-up way, drove directly against it. In this covering-up, sideways manner, you have many times gratified your envious, jealous feelings, and created distrust in the minds of man, when if you had come out boldly, openly, you would have been plainly understood and done but little mischief. When you have been charged with advocating sentiments contrary to the body and are brought into a close place, you slip around it and try to make it appear that it is not so, that they misunderstood you, when you know it is so. This I call no more nor less than dishonesty. As you are, the church cannot depend on you. When you manifest the fruits of an entire reform, that you are converted, that you have overcome your jealousy and stubbornness and rebellion, then God will again trust his flock to your care. But he will not do this until you make thorough restitution. The best influence you can exert until you do this is by staying at home and being not slothful in business. You have done more injury to the cause by your non-committal position and by your wretched fanaticism than you have done good in all your life. Our faith has been made disgusting to unbelievers. A wound, an incurable wound, has been given to the cause of God. And yet, many in Wisconsin, with yourself, seem astonished that so much is said and made of this fanaticism. We met it here in Marquette. I was shown that the division which took place here would never have been had you been right, or even if you had had wisdom enough to have remained away from Marquette. But the plain dealing God's servants had to give you, and then your blind course taken among them, created sympathy and raised opposition against James and brethren Sanborn and Ingram. You thought yourself slighted. You talked it, you acted it, and the force of the testimony borne by his servants was destroyed. There was a division in the body, and you can take all responsibility of this. And here we have had to labor in anguish and distress for the church, in order to do away the wrong influence you have cast. And yet you have made scarcely an effort to do away the evil. You have not made clean work. I was shown some have been very jealous for Brother Stuart, fearing that Brother Stuart would not have justice done him by his brethren. Such had better stand out of the way, and let all that censure and weight of Brother Stuart's wrongs rest upon him, which God designs should come upon him. They cannot help his case by a false and perverted sympathy. They had better manifest a zeal to repent of their wrongs and let Brother Stuart stand for himself. He has been altogether out of the way, and unless he makes thorough, clean work in this matter, confesses with the utmost humility, and is willing to be instructed, he can have no part with God's people, no part in the city of God. He has stood on one side from those upon whom God has laid the heavy burden of his work.
He has injured them by remarks and hints. He has helped to lay burdens upon my husband, who had the labor of 3 men upon him. Brother Stewart has had no special burdens laid upon him. He has had a chance for reflection and study and rest and sleep, while my husband has been obliged to labor day after day and often long into the night. He has had upon him not only the care of the paper and office, but the care and burden of the cause of God, east and west, north and south. And Brother Stewart and many others have looked upon Brother White as one who does not enjoy religion. They know nothing of his burdens and care nothing about them, but by their own unwise course add to his cares perplexity and burdens. Men who have no weight or burdens upon them, men who can have hours of ease and spend hours in idleness or in reflection and study, who have nothing to urge them forward with zeal, can manifest great moderation. They never feel in a hurry. They can spend hours in private conversation and are looked upon by some as being the best and holiest men on earth. But God does not look upon it thus.
Those who have such an easy position will be rewarded according to their works. God has placed my husband in a position which requires the closest care and mental study, and the exercise of sound judgment and wisdom. He has no time to visit, no time to study and reflect. It is active business. And then the weight of responsibility leads to such carefulness, such trembling. He spends many sleepless nights and wrestles in earnest, fervent prayer to God. The Lord leads him on to take one responsible position after the other, while these easy, these godly, holy-appearing fellow laborers oppose every advance God leads him to make. And then his precious time must be occupied, traveling from place to place, laboring with distress of mind to undo what these easy, good, Christian-appearing brethren have been doing. Poor mortals look at things in the wrong light. They mistake matters. They misjudge. They have not a true sense of what religion is. They mistake idleness for religion, and those whom God thrusts out to bear a plain, pointed testimony, to reprove wrong, to labor with all their energies to bring up God's people upon important points of present truth, have too often received censure instead of sympathy and help. And those who would take the course Brother Stewart and many in Wisconsin have taken are too often thought to be very devoted. But God does not thus regard them, and their strange, fanatical course should be sufficient to lead minds to investigate more closely before deciding in regard to appearance being positive evidence of Christian character. Brother Stewart and some others who were in the fanaticism in Mauston are very fearful that they shall receive a little more censure than they think is due them. They look with great earnestness upon a seeming deviation or a seeming wrong in others, and, if there is, a seeming neglect of them by others, then they take a position as though greatly injured, and are very exacting, expecting them to make confessions. You are bitterly deceived yourself, and others have no confessions to make to you. If they misjudged in some little particulars, it is no more than can be expected. You should, with the deepest humility, mourn your sad departure from the right, which has given occasion for a variety of feelings and views in regard to you, which in every particular may not be exactly correct. First, confess your own faults, make thorough work, and then leave others to judge of you by your fruits. Your continual murmuring and complaining of the neglect of your brethren must cease. They have given you more attention than you were worthy of already, and if you could see yourself as you are, you would forever cease these complaints, and would humble yourself under the hand of God. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22-23. Professed believers in and about Mauston do not come up to the work and practice the truths which they profess. A blighting influence is upon the cause of present truth in northern Wisconsin. If all had felt that attachment for the review which God designed they should feel, they would be benefited by the truths it advocates and would be far in advance of what they now are. But their sensibilities are blunted. False excitement has destroyed their discernment and spiritual eyesight. It is very important for them to move understandingly and not let the false exercises that they have witnessed and experienced destroy their faith in vital godliness and in the effort they are required to make to overcome that they may have everlasting life. They must feel for the pillars of our faith, plant their feet upon the platform of truth, see and understand the third angel's message, and be not worldly minded, but prize the truth. Walk in the love of the truth, and yield their various opinions to come in union with the body. God is leading out a people. They must be one, and their interest must be one. There is not that effort made to advance the cause of God that there should be, because there is a lack of interest in the cause. God requires of those who have health and strength of body to use it to his glory, for they are not their own. It is not the wealthy alone who are required to sacrifice. Those who have been slothful in business have a work to do to arouse and understand the wants of their families, to clothe themselves and their children neatly and comfortably, and have something to give to the cause as God's stewards. He holds them accountable for their strength.
Many of the young in Wisconsin have not felt the weight of the cause, or the necessity of their making any sacrifice or denying themselves to advance the cause of present truth. They can never advance and gain strength until they change their course and make the cause of God a part of them and make special efforts to aid it. Some deny themselves and have double labor and great weariness through their incessant labors to advance the cause. They feel that it is a part of them, and when the cause suffers, they suffer with it. When it prospers, they are happy. Others, who do not make effort, who feel that nothing is required of them, and excuse themselves from doing anything because they have not earthly possessions, are wrong. If they have strength, that is the Lord's. Their time is the Lord's, and they should labor diligently with their hands, and then, after their families are comfortable, or if they have no family, after their wants are supplied, they should manifest an interest for the cause, aid that, and lay up treasure in heaven. Those who have earthly possessions should feel responsible to do something for the advancement of the cause. They should realize the great sacrifice Jesus has made for them, and then should willingly, gladly, impart of their substance to aid in the work of bringing salvation to their fellow men. Proverbs 3, verse 9-10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the firstfruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.